Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Redeemed, the Church sings on and in thanksgiving. There is a direct connection between singing and giving thanks. Indeed, Psalm 147, verse 7 invites and encourages, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." But it's not just any old song, nor is it any unfocused thanksgiving. In reality, we've already sung the proper song and we've faithfully directed our thanksgiving, doing so moments ago in the order of matins. In the Venite, which is from Psalm 95, we just sang, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." And as the Church sings as she congregates, so does the individual Christian in the life led outside these walls. This is your life, dear soul. In a faithful solo, the child of God sings unto the Lord. The sermon text for this Thanksgiving Day bespeaks that truth concerning you. Therefore, please listen to the Word of God, specifically Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, under the theme of singing the new song. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Thus far the word of the Lord our God. There you have the reality of what God has done for the faithful, and especially so for you. He has put a new song in your mouth, so sing it. Sing out loud, sing out strong. But wait, there naturally arises two questions. First, what was the old song? And second, what is the new song that I'm supposed to sing? Following the answers to these inquiries, then another question arises, namely, what are the applications of these songs for the faithful soul? What are their applications for you? So, let's begin with the old song. The old song is the song first sung by our fallen parents in the Garden of Eden, and it's the song sung in response to the accusing law of God. The initial stanza was voiced by Adam when confronted with the law of God, when the Lord God asked, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" The old song of Adam commenced with the desire of shifting the blame from himself to Eve and even to God himself. "The woman, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Eve hears the Lord God ask, "What is this that thou hast done?" And she joins her husband in a duet of denial as she sings her solo, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." This is the old song, and it has been sung ever since the fall into sin. You and I are naturals at this song. It is in response to the law of God being broken, his commandments being transgressed, the fear of temporal and especially eternal death casts a grave cloud over the soul and terrifies the heart. Like an ever-rising phoenix, sin looms up before the fallen soul, and it is absolutely terrified at the impending wrath of God. The conscience is lacerated with sorrow and remorse and regret. The mouth of hell is open wide and waits, ever waits. The anguish of man and the despair of woman, and vice versa, cast the sinner to the ground, cursed with thorns and infested with thistles since the day of Adam. We naturally hearken our ears and move our mouths to sing the song of paradise lost, the hymn of the grave won. Indeed, you fall to the temptations of the world, of the devil, and of your own sinful nature, and so you begin singing the old song. Here are just some of the stanzas that you sing in order to justify yourself. The devil accuses you with your sin, and you start crowing, "Hey, I'm not a bad person. The devil made me do it. Hey, I try to do my best, most of the time, a lot of the time. Okay, some of the time. Look, I'm better than the average guy, okay?" Not okay. Or your conscience convicts you and you reply with a liturgy of the law, "I'm going to get my act together and do good deeds to make up for any sins I may have committed, if any. After all, nothing is really my fault. Besides, I'm a lifelong Lutheran. I've done a lot and held many offices in the congregation. I'm confident that my many good works will put me in good standing on Judgment Day. I think. At least, I hope. I mean, God doesn't require me to be perfect, does he? Actually, I think I might be lost. I am. Woe is me." Dear redeemed, stop singing this old song. By doing so, you are sinning against the Lord God and sinking yourself deeper in the miry clay and that horrible pit. This tune only leads to death, and these stanzas do not help you in the least. In fact, they curse you. Sing instead the new song. Indeed, you are invited to sing the song of God's grace, mercy, and peace in Christ. It is the song of the mystery, which was once kept secret since the world began. Our sermon text is but a part of Psalm 40, a psalm that is about Christ, who he is and what he has come to do. It's about Jesus, and the psalm has its application to you to put the new song into your mouth. This new song is the hymning of forgiveness in Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, who is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. In your baptism, the Lord has brought you up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set your feet upon a rock and established your goings. And he hath put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. It is the song of Easter, sung by the contrite and broken-hearted who know that their Redeemer lives, and they, and we, trust and cling to the gospel, to the wonderful fact and the marvelous truth that forgiveness, eternal life, salvation, and justification are yours and mine by the grace of God through faith in Christ, and not because of any of our works, deeds, sacrifices, credits, merits, intentions, or offerings. It is the song of songs, and it is the litany sung between the bridegroom of heaven and his bride, which is the church on this earth. It is the song of Christmas, and, the Lord willing, we shall sing it in a handful of weeks. You surely remember that you hymned the last three stanzas of "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come." Listen to them. "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber set apart for you to dwell within my heart. My heart for very joy must leap, my lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song, glory to God in highest heaven, who unto us his Son has given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year to all the earth." How wonderful and how thrilling! We rejoice and we smile, and our eyes gleam in joyful response as the congregation hymns together this new ancient cradle song. But then, each one of us returns to his or her own life, one lived out in a fallen world with individual sorrows, unique trials, various sufferings, and personal troubles. And here it is, dear redeemed, that the new song is sung in the valley of the shadow of death, when our own sinful nature arises, the world condemns, and the devil assaults. And here are a few examples of such stanzas of the new song that you are encouraged to sing at such times. The devil accuses you with your sin, and instead of crowing the old song, you say, "Indeed, it is most certainly true that I am a sinner, and indeed my sins are great. But Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He is the great Savior. He has paid the price for every one of my sins, the ones I know and the ones I don't know, all of them. He has baptized me, and I am forgiven of them all. For it is written, 'For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your conscience convicts you, and instead of replying with a list of works done under the law, you declare in your recitation of the new song that God has put into your mouth these words: "I confess that I have sinned, and my conscience bears witness against me and condemns me. Yet there is Jesus, whose blood speaks gracious forgiveness and calms my soul. For it is written, 'For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and He knoweth all things.' There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Or, whether through the promptings of Satan or the ponderings of your heart or the reading of the obituaries of the day, you are reminded of your own death. The claw of death's cold hand reaches up through your gut and clamps down on your heart. You are terrified when you recall the truth that the wages of sin is death. Rather, at such times, rather than despair under the old tune, recall and recite this stanza of the new song: "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At such times, close your eyes and mutter with your mouth, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Listen, and you will hear that song sung in eternity, for "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb.' And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That's from the last book of the Bible, wherein the crucified, risen, ascended, and reigning Christ Jesus directed the disciple whom He loved to write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Part of the things which shall be hereafter is you and I standing there in that place. Look carefully as I read of that truth, and you will behold yourself joining in the new song that is sung in eternity. "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, 'What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?' And I said to him, 'Sir, thou knowest.' And he said to me, 'These are they which have come out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Until that day comes, when you are in paradise with the Lord God, you are invited and encouraged to continue singing the new song, even if it is only one word, the word Amen. So rest assured and firmly believe and confidently trust that you have salvation, that you have eternal life, and that you are forgiven of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.